Welcome to KOI News. It's October 12th, and I'm Caitlin Krasselt. On today's broadcast, we've got the latest in news, sports, opinion, and RAR from the Argonaut. Today in news, Allison Griffith gives us the rundown for a 20-year transportation plan in Moscow. Katie Sword has an overview of a discussion by the League of Women Voters about education propositions 1, 2, and 3. Finally, Katie will have an update on the Jesse Varesta rape case. In sports, Madison McCord covered the Idaho women's soccer victory against San Jose State. Kevin Bingaman has a column about fantasy football. And after that, an update from Thea Lawson about basketball player Kyle Barone's DUI case and suspension from the team. For the editorial board, Chloe Rambo gives us her view on the Moscow transportation plan. And this week in RAR, Emily Vostra has a story about two local artists trying to make it big. Finally, Chloe Rambo has this week's horoscopes. But first, here's Allison Griffith.
The city is looking at ways to improve all forms of transportation in Moscow. Moscow on the Move is a 20-year multimodal transportation plan that'll look at all modes of transportation in Moscow City and identify the city's needs in new projects, said Tom Brennan, a consultant for Nelson Nygaard, one of the three firms creating the multimodal plan. The other two firms are DKS Associates and Alto Planning and Design, Brennan said. One idea to both decrease freight traffic and connect roads is a ring route, which is a large circular road that will surround Moscow, with other roads breaking off to connect to different streets in the city. Mayor Nancy Cheney said that the city did need to plan for an increased flow in commercial industrial traffic, especially with the expansion of the Port of Lewiston. She said that instead of a ring route, a more affordable short-term fix would be ideal. The second major project they are looking at concerns different ways to connect 3rd Street. Right now, it is broken up by a creek. Some of the public's concerns with connecting 3rd Street are that it will become a major traffic route, when right now it is mostly residential, Brennan said. And people also want to know whether or not it would just be a pedestrian and bike connection or a motor vehicle one. The 20-year plan also encompasses a shorter 5-year plan, which is very specific and contains projects of high importance, Brennan said. Though the initial study of the city has been completed, the firms did hold a 2-day workshop to gain input from the city's citizens. The workshops have been successful, Brennan said. We have good drop-in traffic. Most people had input about bike and walking traffic, Brennan said. They expressed a concern in the lack of sidewalks there are throughout the city. He said that sidewalk improvements were a big priority. The areas built in the 1920s have great sidewalks. But neighborhoods built later, particularly in the 1940s and 1950s, have bad sidewalks. The city has utilized multiple grants to create sidewalks, mostly revolved around creating safer walkways to schools. The budget for the major consulting transportation plan was $300,000, Brennan said, and it will eventually be reviewed and adopted by the city. That is still a long way away, he said. For KUOI News, this is Allison Griffith.
Now here's Katie Sword with an overview of the Women's League of Voters and their discussion of education propositions 1, 2, and 3.
The League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan group that focuses on providing education to voters in the area, according to Jennifer O'Loughlin, past president for the League. The League held a forum Wednesday about propositions 1, 2, and 3. She said the forum corresponded with Idaho Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luna's visit to Moscow. The forum hosted two debaters, Daryl Deedy for the yes vote to uphold the propositions, and Shirley Ringo arguing to reject the propositions. There were about 60 people in attendance Wednesday night, with fewer than 3 under 30 and fewer than 15 under 40. The majority of the audience was well into their 50s. Deedy is a former Idaho senator and superintendent of Caldwell Schools, while Ringo was a public school teacher for 38 years and is currently serving in the House of Representatives for the 5th District. Proposition 1 will limit negotiations between teachers and school boards and end renewable contracts. Deedy said the issues in general are near and dear to him, and he considers this election the most important in Idaho education history. He said negotiations are clearly distracting from good teaching. Ringo said it is important to reject all three propositions, but that Proposition 1 will not improve teachers. She said it is a punitive measure to dismantle the Idaho Education Association. Proposition 2 provides teacher bonuses based on student performance on standardized tests. Ringo said they need to be clear that this plan is not for the schools. It's also not for the teachers. They didn't ask for it, she said. Ringo emphasized that the issue may not be proposition plans entirely, but largely with how they were constructed, saying that they want transparency and teachers involved in the plan. Deedy asked if the proposition will improve the quality of the classroom teacher. adding that he feels the proposition will bring fairness to teacher salaries. Proposition 3 requires online courses for high school graduation and laptops provided for every student. Dede said more than 100,000 people signed a petition to get the propositions on the ballot, but he believes some may have done so because they support technology and want a chance to say so in the voting booth. He said it's hard to believe Idaho wants to ignore the future. Ringo said the issue isn't technology. Those against the proposition want technology in schools as well. The question of how we move forward has a lot to do with it if we think we are on the right road, Ringo said. It's a huge decision for Idaho, but we got a deal hatched behind closed doors. Everyone deserves to be part of the discussion. For KUI News, I'm Katie Sword.
Once again, here's Katie Sword with an update on the Jesse Verestra rape case.
A former University of Idaho student is charged with raping a woman during a Sigma Chi party behind the fraternity house Saturday. Jesse Verestra, 21, was charged with one count of felony rape Sunday morning, Moscow Chief of Police David Duke said. Duke said they received a call around 2 a.m. Sunday from a person who said they knew of an individual raped on campus and wanted Moscow police to come take a report. She'd been at Sigma Chi with some friends when Jesse Verestra approached. They'd worked together at a restaurant in Twin Falls, Duke said. She agreed to go on a walk with him. They started to kiss. Several women walked by. After they passed, Verestra pushed her on the ground and sexually assaulted her. Duke said they picked up Verestra that morning and took him to the station. Verestra requested a lawyer, but Duke said they had enough probable cause to arrest him, as well as obtain two warrants to examine Verestra and his clothes for evidence. Last year, there were 6 forcible sexual assaults reported on the University of Idaho campus and 3 reported in 2010. Verestra's bond was set at $125,000, which has not been paid, according to the district court clerk. For KUI News, I'm Katie Sword.
Now in sports, here's Madison McCord with his coverage of the Idaho women's soccer game against San Jose State.
After the first 45 minutes, Idaho soccer coach Pete Scholler thought this game might turn out like many others this season, without a ball finding the back of the net. But then the floodgates opened, and the Vandals scored twice in the second half to defeat visiting San Jose State Spartans 2-0 Thursday at Guy Wicks Field.
It was top-notch. That's what we've been waiting for, but to put a dominating performance together like that, every part of the field.
The Vandals earned their first WAC win of the season behind goals from senior Chelsea Small and sophomore Annie Millard in the 51st and 73rd minutes, respectively. The two goals were only 2 of Idaho's 24 shots on the afternoon, 12 of which were on frame. On the other end of the pitch, center back Natalia Zinga and left back Emily Nahn bolstered a back line, which allowed 14 Spartan shots, none of which really challenged Idaho goalkeeper Liz Boyden, who had 4 saves in the match. Although the first half was scoreless, it wasn't without action, as Idaho mustered 16 shots, 2 of which hit off the San Jose crossbar, the 11th and 12th time that a bar has denied the Vandals a goal this season.
The second half, they came out and made the adjustments we asked, and it paid off. Like I said to them at halftime, we can't have 16 shots or whatever it was at halftime and 7 corners and not get a goal. So it's coming, but just keep at it.
The breakthrough for Idaho came when midfielder Katie Barron fed a streaking Megan Lopez up the left-hand channel, who then hit a curling cross right to the head of Small, who finished for her 5th goal of the season.
Well, before the game, Chelsea and I communicated and said that we were going to score today, and so there you go. it was really, I was in the right place at the right time, and I picked her out, and I know she's hungry for it. Like, it was right in her face. So she was in the perfect place for it, and I think she was ready to score. So I think she was making up for some of her one-on-ones that she had missed. So
more chances came the Vandals' way, but Spartan keeper Zoe McGurnis made several key saves on the day, 10 in total. Following a Small for Millard substitution, the sophomore midfielder took an inadvertent flick on from a San Jose State player before striking a shot from 18 yards out that was saved but not held by McGurnis, allowing a Millard follow-up goal, the first of her career.
It means so much to me. I've been working so hard, and I've gotten my chances but never had a goal. And then the build-up just... it was just right timing with the run. They flicked it on, and first one kind of hit it in the keeper, but it bounced off and followed in and got my goal. Really, really happy and excited about it.
The clean sheet was Idaho's 2nd in as many home matches when they last held Utah Valley scoreless 1-0 in a win September 21st. Idaho will next take the pitch 1 p.m. Sunday at Guy Wicks Field against defending WAC champion Utah State. For KUI News, I'm Madison McCord.
Here's Kevin Bingaman with the do's and don'ts of fantasy football.
Out till at least week 12. Anyone who has Wells on their roster needs to drop him immediately. He's not worth the spot and will not be producing much the rest of the year. For a player to hold on to Akeem Nix. The New York wide receiver has missed two games in a row with a foot and ankle injury and is looking doubtful for this week against the 49ers. This may be concerning to many owners, but he's worth hanging on to. He's proven to be a solid receiver in recent years, racking up almost 1,200 yards and 7 touchdowns last season. In Week 2 this year, he caught 10 balls for 199 yards and a touchdown. Don't let his recent absence convince you to drop him. When he returns, he's going to help the Giant offense, and he will be a good start for any league. For a player to keep an eye on, keep an eye on LaRod Stephen Howling. The running back situation in Arizona is getting desperate. Wells is out until at least Week 12, and now starter Ryan Williams is out for the rest of the season, leaving Stevens Howlings to get most of the carries for the Cardinals. The Arizona run game has been struggling at this point, ranking 29th in the NFL. That's something the Cardinals will undoubtedly try to fix going forward, and it looks like Stevens Howling will be the guy to do it. Keep an eye on him. If the Cardinal run game gets going, he could be a valuable asset going forward, especially for teams needing a running back. That wraps up this week's Fantasy Forecast. For KUI News, I'm Kevin Bingaman.
Last in sports, Theo Lawson has an update about the suspension of Vandal basketball player Kyle Barone.
Idaho men's basketball player Kyle Barone was arraigned for a DUI charge Tuesday by the Whitman County District Court, a day after coach Don Verlin indefinitely suspended him from the team for unspecified team violations. Barone, a 2011 All-WAC Honorable Mention awardee, was pulled over at 1:33 a.m. Sunday morning in Pullman after a police officer reported witnessing him cross two traffic lanes before pulling into a diagonal parking stall. The citation occurred on Wilson Road near the Leidy Student Services Building on the Washington State University campus. Driving a dark-colored Dodge Durango, Barone hit the curb of the sidewalk, causing the car to bounce off the curb. The Garden Grove, California native is Idaho's active leader in points, rebounds, assists, blocks, and steals. Idaho opens up its 2012-2013 campaign at Memorial Gym Saturday, October 27th against Seattle Pacific. Verlin stated in a press release Monday that Barone's response will determine his status on the team. For KUOI News, this is Theo Lawson.
Now from the editorial board, here's Chloe Rambo with her view on the Moscow transportation plan.
Street smarts. Moscow on the move to evaluate city transportation. In hopes of improving all forms of transportation in Moscow, the city is developing a 20-year multimodal transportation plan. The plan, called Moscow on the Move, will help the city develop a more sustainable and useful system of public transportation. A cohesive transportation program can be an integral part of a city's overall success and identity. Walking through the streets of London wouldn't be the same without the tube. San Francisco wouldn't be nearly as quaint without its characteristic trolley cars, and Portland would lose a huge chunk of its inherent personality if the streets weren't flooded with bicycles. It's time for Moscow to take the necessary steps to gain full control of the city's public transportation. It's time for the city to turn the system of transportation around so it can benefit larger groups of people. Construction and development officials are considering multiple aspects of the project. Sidewalks, bike lanes, and the quality of street-side signs have all been identified as areas of concern for the project. Three firms are working together to create the multimodal plan. Nelson and Nygaard will concentrate on the city's transit system. Alta Planning and Design will develop biking and pedestrian paths, while DKS Associates will study the impact of motor vehicle transportation. Public transportation is successful in bigger cities where it's ingrained in the culture. It creates a low-cost alternative for the public, and in some cases, completely eradicates the need for personal vehicles. Opportunities to make more environmentally friendly decisions present themselves every day, especially in a city like Moscow, which encourages the use of bicycles and sustainability as bright blue recycling bins line any given residential street. Even though Moscow supports increasing public transportation and efforts to be more environmentally friendly, it can be difficult adapting to these changes. Just as sorting recyclable items takes time, developing a new system of transportation will also take time. Moscow needs public input to help develop the transportation plan out of the beginning stages into a reality. City officials are seeking opinions from University of Idaho students and community members who will use these modes of transportation. As students, we need to remember that there are many alternatives to driving your car to class or work. Riding a bicycle, utilizing the current form of city transit, and even walking to where you need to be are all small changes you can make. And guess what? Those small changes add up in big ways. For KUOI News, I'm Chloe Rambo.
This week in RAR, Emily Vostra met a couple of local artists who recently released their albums and are trying to make it to the big time. Here she is with the story.
Two Moscow artists held a double release party in Pullman last Friday to debut their albums and perform live in front of their supporters. Bart Budwig and Cooper Trail have grown up in the Moscow area with a passion for music. Budwig and his family used to go around his neighborhood during Christmas time playing carols on brass instruments when he was young. He played the trumpet in high school and 2 years for the University of Idaho Jazz Band. At age 18, he picked up his mom's old guitar and began playing and writing songs. Now, he works out of his own recording studio, creating music and finding inspiration from his life experiences. Budwig's new album, Whiskey Girl, is a mixture between country, Americana, and a splash of folk music. He said the inspiration for the music style came from listening to an album by Seattle artist Sarah Cahoon, and it changed his view on what country is. His goal for this album was to create something he could stand behind and be proud of the work he put into it. He said he isn't trying to be original, but he wants to make beautiful songs that will change someone's opinion on music. Budwig and Trail had a connection through a close friend, and one day Budwig called Trail to ask if he would play the drums for his album. Budwig said Trail is creative, willing to try anything, but still down to play something simple. Trail, a senior at Moscow High School, said he began drumming on pots and pans when he was 3 years old, and his love for music escalated from there. He said the process of getting to his debut album, Little Mountain, released under the name Mazay, started in ninth grade when he and Budwig recorded a song called America for a school project. Trail sold demos of his songs to friends, family, and peers for $5 before he recorded the album with Budwig. He said Little Mountain is folk-inspired indie pop with some electronic influence. Trail said the inspiration for songs on the album come from things around Moscow that spark emotion. Both Budwig and Trail want to give a big shout-out to Luke Tacklow, owner of Woolly Records, who played a big part in creating their albums. Whiskey Girl is available for purchase at bartbudwig.bandcamp.com and on iTunes. That's bartbudwig.bandcamp.com. And Little Mountain is available for purchase at Deadbeat Records, Paradise Ridge CDs and Tapes in Moscow, and woollyrecords.com. That's woollyrecords.com. For KUI News, I'm Emily Vartstra.
Finally on today's show, here's Chloe Rambo with your weekend horoscopes.
Libra, buy all the gummy candy you can get your hands on because your birthday month is about to get crazy. Scorpio, learning to cook is a truly beneficial skill. If you ever get abducted by aliens from Neptune, you may be able to whip up a quick cheese-covered peace offering. Sagittarius, discovering that you dream in French with a slight German accent will make you akin to become a trilingual James Bond. Just go with it. Capricorn, being healthy is important, but trying to swear off coffee despite being caffeine-deprived makes you act and look like a grizzly bear in the morning isn't cool. Drink tea, maybe? Aquarius. Changing your best friend's ringtone to Mozart's Symphony No. 24 in B-flat major will suddenly inspire incredible bursts of awesome. YouTube it as soon as possible. Pisces. Next time you're about to fall asleep in your 9:30 a.m. lecture class, just stand up and run through the rows of chairs like you're doing the wave. Don't forget about the jazz hands. Aries, making pudding can be a refreshing and wholesome experience, especially when it's mint-flavored made with buttermilk. Very refreshing and very wholesome. Taurus, you have a long-lost twin out there somewhere. Go to the Idaho Commons and yell your name spelled backwards to find them. Get ready for a reunion. Gemini, skip across the lawn and feed your neighbor's cat right meow. Cancer, baking a batch of strawberry milkshakes at midnight will suddenly become your new favorite hobby. Consider opening a miniature malt shop. Everybody loves a good shake with their studies. Leo. Discovering how to use a map and compass will serve you well very soon. It's getting dark on campus, and who knows if you'll be able to find your way home after sundown. Virgo. Remember to dip your toes in the water once in a while, but maybe not your friend's morning cup of tea. For KUOI News, I'm Chloe Rambo.
This has been KUOI News for October 12, 2012, bringing you all the news you need in 25 minutes or less. I'm Caitlin Krasselt.